Hello and welcome to another episode of the CG Garage. This is episode number 177, featuring Dean and Chop, which were formerly of a Studio Niscota. And you're wondering, well, hold on a second. Isn't it Dean Niscota? Isn't it his own studio? How could it be formerly of his own studio? Well, there's a story behind that, and they are going to explain it to you on the podcast itself. It's a really good one. Really nice guys. They're from Zagreb in Croatia, and we learn a lot about what it's like to open a studio there, why there is such a boom in the visualization market over there, and where they're planning on going from here and how they want to run a business. Really cool guys. I mean, I love it when people like that sort of are entrepreneurial and they sort of make their own business and make it work and then share that business idea, which especially in the creative area, to everyone else. So really, really great to talk to them. Loved hanging out with them when I was in Sofia at Total Chaos. This is one of my Total Chaos podcasts. For those of you who've been listening, Total Chaos was the event we had in Sofia not a couple weeks ago, which was a lot of fun, and we recorded some amazing podcasts, or I recorded some amazing podcasts while I was there. This is one of them, but we had about 900 people there, and it was extremely well attended, some amazing speakers, and honestly, it was a blast, a lot of fun. So hopefully you guys can join us next year when we do it again. Let me see, other announcements. Yes, the HP competition here. It's actually we're part of it as well. It's a competition, a rendering competition that's brought on by HP, NVIDIA, Chaos Group, ourselves, obviously, Algorithmic, CG Architect, and it's really kind of an interesting competition. It's a visualization of the Mars home planet, and it's a rendering competition. And there's going to be some amazing prizes, and you can go check those prizes out. You know, a lot of hardware and other things like that. But go ahead and check it out. And you don't have much time if you want to enter. So really should go there now. It's hpmarshomeplanet.com, all one word. So again, hpmarshomeplanet.com. And go there and enter fast, because I think you only have a few weeks left before you can submit your entry. I think you have 3 or 4 weeks and that's it. So it'd be great for you guys to go get into that and check it out. I say other news that's going on. Well, let's see. SIGGRAPH. SIGGRAPH is coming around the corner. We're preparing for that. I already know that Melissa has been working hard on getting some great speakers, and we already have a few lined up, but it's going to be an amazing event. Again, 2 days we're going to do talks over at SIGGRAPH. So we will announce when the page is up and you guys can check it out, but we'd love to see you in Vancouver this year. And obviously you guys should know about V-Ray Next. And if you don't, I would highly urge you guys to go check it out and make sure you guys let us know what you think. I think it's an unbelievably fast, big improvement in speed in terms of ray tracing overall, including some amazing speed ups we've done, mostly based on making V-Ray way, way smarter in terms of how it samples your scenes. It's actually, this is the era of intelligent software that figures things out for you. So it's really kind of cool that way. I think that's about it, guys. Hopefully you guys will enjoy this really great podcast with Dean and Chop from the former Studio Niscota, and we will reveal the name of the new business they'll be doing in the podcast. All right, hope you enjoy it, guys.
Welcome to another CG Garage, where the Chaos Group talks. You'll know it's over when the last bucket drops. We're gonna fire off rays in high dynamic range. We know that ambient occlusion is passé. Global illumination won't lead you astray. And while image-based lighting is really swell, you need to make sure everything has Fresnel.
All right. Okay, so I know you're tired. You just gave your talk.
Yeah.
And you guys apparently had some big announcements.
Yeah,
but well, before we get to that, we should save that for the end, so it's a big surprise and everyone will wait for it. But it'd be really interesting to hear about that. let's talk a little bit about how you guys started. You said you when we met yesterday briefly, so it's like two guys in a garage, right?
Yeah.
In Croatia, like right?
Yeah, in Croatia.
Where in Croatia?
Zagreb.
But, okay.
It all, we know each other for like 25 years, something like that, from like eighth grade of primary school. We started, we met on the skateboard or, yeah.
Yeah, inline skates.
Inline skates,
yeah. And he is in a like real center on the main square in Zagreb. So, and you know, our friends were all connected. So, yeah, I don't know. Then we met again at the college at the first year. So I think at 2005, we started to, we did a few renders then. And then after that, we just combined and...
Yeah, we collaborated on and off, you know, throughout the years on college.
Right, right.
Because I was freelancing, he was freelancing as well. And it kind of, you know, just after a while, we started going to conferences and stuff and we figured one year.
Yeah. But what got you into rendering? What was the passion there?
I was in the art school. So, but, you know, I choose architecture because, I don't know, it's a mix of that. Tech and art, so the college is very good, but you know all these drawings in art school, kind of I started experimenting there with, you know, computers and everything because I wanted to, you know, try to do some projects on the computers, and at that time it was like super heavy to do, so and then at first grade of first year of college, we were still drawing with, you know, on paper with a pen.
Mm-hmm.
So both of us trying to, you know, break the limit and put AutoCAD there and, you know, 3D modeling and stuff. So, and it just, I don't know, for me, it was just a passion. It started like hobby, but after some time, you know, I realized that it's, you know, something what, you know, I like more than architecture, so but I finished the college and, you know, stayed in 3D field. So
I know exactly what you mean because I did the same thing. I was, you know, I went to architecture school and I just really got into 3D and things like that, and I was started rendering, and I was a pretty good designer in architecture school, but then suddenly I realized like, I don't really care if it's built or not.
Yeah.
Just I like the creation of the image was the creation that I was looking for. You know what I mean?
And it's, I think people like us find it much easier to work on projects which are 2 or 3 weeks long than like 2 or 3 years long.
Right. Yeah.
Like my attention span doesn't really allow for 3 years of something.
Well, I work in the visual effects field. Sometimes you have to wait.
Yeah.
but you can look at it as shot by shot, you know, like every shot gets done. But yeah, it's true. It's a very satisfying when you get a nice image, right? So
yeah, but these days we try to mix sometimes for some clients, you know, this architecture part in our projects because often we have to, you know, fix some stuff. So, and it's very funny because, you know, then you have to convince the architect that,
yes, 2 3D guys did it better.
Yeah.
Yeah. That kind of gets really funny sometimes.
Yeah.
But I think that the whole landscape in the industry is changing a bit. People are not looking for products as much as solutions to problems.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, we try to offer complete solutions to whatever creative problems they might have.
But the thing is that specifically, and let's bring this up a little bit, is that, you know, a lot of times now ArcVis companies are not working for architects.
Yeah.
Right? They're working for real estate people.
Yeah.
And those people are not necessarily looking for design solutions. They're looking for marketing solutions, right?
To sell it, right?
To sell the building. So in order to sell the building, you need to create things that are design decisions that maybe are not for the long term, but or for whatever it is, or maybe they turn out to be long term solutions. Yeah.
But it's a whole different playing field because, well, some architects might get mad at me for saying this, but you know, architects in general, I think the way we are taught in school is to develop this sort of aesthetic, which is amazing for other architects.
Right.
But it's not really meant for the common person.
Okay.
You know, in the sense that, okay, you're architecturally trained, your eye is trained to see architecture. And you know, you can notice this if you look hard enough at architectural competitions or designs and stuff. Those designs speak to architects very often, much more so than to the regular Joe.
Right. Know? They don't know what they're looking at. Yeah.
So in real estate, it gets completely twisted around because those guys are interested only in a bunch of regular Joes, which are going to buy these apartments or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, they expect, just like you said, you know, it's marketing images.
Right.
So it's a bit different. We try to cater to both, you know, sides of that playing field, but you know, in the fact of the matter is that in real estate there's a lot more projects going on.
They also have a lot more money.
That's true as well.
Right?
Yeah.
And they have more at stake. Yeah. Right? The architect has to find a way. The architect, and not to say that this is a bad thing, because the architect is the designer, right? But they are the middleman between you and the real estate person in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So if you work directly for the real estate agent, you can have a much better direct line of communication. And that doesn't necessarily mean that the architect is not valid, because ultimately the building does have to be built, right?
Or, exactly.
So they definitely have a role that's doing there. But in fact, it you can almost say it frees the architect to focus on what they're good at and not have to worry about being a marketing person, right?
Yeah. Because ultimately the point of these two different kinds of images are exactly that, different. You know, the purposes are different. If you're showing it to, I don't know, investors or somebody, you want to show the vision behind a project. Mm-hmm. If you're showing it to people who are, you know, going to buy it, I think the whole vision of the project is not necessarily as important as making it look really good and inviting.
Right.
Which sometimes collides with the, you know, actual vision behind the project in the first place. So
right.
It's
and it's not necessarily their fault, but architects sometimes get a little focused, like that doorknob is not exactly right. It's
but they're missing the point, because we had a few projects. We respect architects all the time, so we try to show the first preview to them and then, you know, go back to the client, the investor or something.
Right.
But in this kind of, in this exact point, when we showed the render preview to architect, he said, "Ooh, that's very nice. Go, he'll love it." Mm-hmm. And then we said, "Okay, this is not finished. It's like,
right?
It's like geometry with, you know, three textures, and it's like, you know, whoa." And then he start to, you know, see what we can do, and in the end, it's like, "Okay, please send me the render so I can put it on my website," and you know, so
right.
Yeah, but
they realize, I think, you know, Croatia is a specific market as well. So,
well, what is the market in Croatia? What's it like to be in Croatia? In
that hard.
Market? Yeah.
It's hard. So our beginnings were really tough. You know, it took a while for us to, you know, just figure stuff out and create a name for ourselves and everything. So
I have a secret confession about Croatia.
Okay.
So, I didn't know anything about it, really. But when I was in grad school, a friend of mine, he and I would pretend to be Croatian to pick up girls. We said, "Oh yes, we're from Zagreb." So, you know, we put on an accent that was probably terrible. But you know, when we lived in Texas, it was kind of like, "Oh yes, very." It's like, "Oh, because Zagreb sounds very interesting."
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? And I was like, "Oh yeah." And I was like, "You're just..." So we pretend. Yeah, it did work a couple of times. But
that's good to know.
It was very hard, because you have to convince the we had to open the market for ourselves.
Yeah,
we had to teach them and convince them that they need renders. So
what is you are visualizing projects that are in Croatia, right? A lot of times.
Yeah,
and that market must be growing, as you're saying.
Yes, it is. Right? But we tried to, you know, get away from this, because...
No, I know. Of course you do. But yeah. but
after a while...
Well, at least that's where you start, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's how it started. And I think we did a lot of stuff in Croatia. But, you know, it's time for us to kind of, you know, move on.
Right.
Yeah.
We've grown a lot in the last few years in like experience and
is it basically still the two of you guys in this, in your...
Well, it's actually... Yeah, that's a tough question, because there was significant changes recently.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, what kind of... okay, let's... So, but you've been doing... before we get to that, One of the things you mentioned is you do things a little bit differently than you think some other people do, right? You do everything in 3D.
Yes. Yeah. Right? We do no post whatsoever.
Post is in the buffer, so...
Right. So like the frame, but what comes out of the frame
yes,
buffer
that's
is
it.
Like...
That's what we yeah. deliver.
So you're like the guys on Instagram. It's like, no filter, looks beautiful, yeah. you know, right?
Yeah, yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Kinda, yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, before we started attending, like, yeah. shows like this,
right?
We thought everybody's doing it that way.
Yes, it's like right. normal stuff. Yeah. So.
Isn't it like normal? You know, you're doing 3D. Why wouldn't you do everything in 3D? And then we kind of realized that it's not that common at all because a lot of people were wondering, oh, really? Like, you do it like this? Why? And yeah. we kind of figured out a workflow which makes it a lot faster for us.
Okay. Well, that's great. Yeah, you don't have to worry about it. Like, it comes yeah. out right.
No, but it's the simple things because, you know, client comes around and says, could we change the angle? And if you did, like, 5 hours of post work on that image, those 5 hours that, can, yes. you know, just get thrown away.
Yeah.
And we select the target, move it, press render, and, you know, yeah, sure, it's done.
Right.
So it's not a magic bullet.
Yeah.
You know, there's problems, there's issues.
Sure.
It, definitely.
It's very technical.
Yeah. And, you
at
know,
the beginning.
Images well, with crowds.
Sure.
Yeah. yeah.
Well, images with crowds. Okay. So there is a challenge here because there's yeah. several things you can think about, right? Of like, yeah. oh, I can, if you're doing it in, if you're doing a lot of 2D posts, right? If you're doing something like what's the name? Pedro Fernandez, right?
He does.
You guys know who he is, right?
Yeah.
And he does a lot of it in post. Like he does like six boxes in 3D. Gets the lighting about right.
But
and
he's amazing. He's special. Yeah.
That's, he is special.
He's a painter.
He's a painter, right? So you play to your strengths, right?
Yeah.
And so he can paint things and you do a lot of entourage. So you as the pressure now on you in 3D is that you have to put everything in 3D, right?
But, you know, finding creative ways how to do that stuff is really fun.
And tempting.
So. Yeah, because we just had this, you've probably seen that, like, beach resort project.
Mm-hmm.
And we did an animation of it.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, you have the ocean.
Yeah.
And
you got to do everything.
Like, yeah, so what are we going to do with this ocean?
Simulate it,
obviously.
right.
You know, and we're an Archviz studio, so that was kind of a very interesting step for us.
You know, you guys use Phoenix?
Yeah.
There's some pretty. It's pretty easy now to do that kind of. Well, easier.
Now it's easier, but at the beginning it was no explanation for nothing. So
You know, it's weird because the examples you get are mostly VFX based. So you know, the example for
this is what we normally expect. So this is nice to see. When people use Fluid Sims for things that are different than we think they are. But actually, even Fluid Sim as an example, right? The engines that were made now for Fluid Sims actually came from engineering.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so there's a sorry, I'm just diverging a little bit, if that's okay. But they were used to measure, like, you know, fluid dynamics through turbines and things like that. And so they brought those, some people... to try to see if they could be used in visual effects, and they realized, like, well, they're too clean because they're an engineering problem, right? So they started introducing turbulence and all these other things, and they started really developing that stuff, which the engineers hadn't thought about, because they only think about going through a pipe, right, or something like that.
Sure.
And then suddenly, then the engineers started taking the visual effects guys' work, and it's like, we can use this for helicopter simulations, for those types of fluid simulations, right?
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, like, everyone has taken advantage of it. Now, if the ArcViz guys start using this kind of stuff as well, who knows what's going to happen with it?
You know, the funny thing about it is that you start, obviously, by searching for examples, and you find none. And that was the biggest issue for us because we kind of had to figure it out because of the whole VFX deal, you know.
But now it's your opportunity to make examples.
Yeah, our beach was 150 meters long, and we planned to do renders on 4K stills and animation on, you know. So when we started, I was, you know, we were playing by, you know, reading tutorials and how to put right scale for the waves.
Right.
And then when you realize that you have to, you know, change the resolution a lot, then it's got complicated.
Multiply everything by 10.
Yes.
Because, you know, the examples are like for 6 feet of beach, right?
Right.
And that's always like that. So for us, it was a completely different scale because ArchViz in general is a completely different scale usually. And, you know, there's like big stuff going on. But it was insanely fun, yeah. I have to say.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and it's how we solve these kind of problems. I mean, there's software for that, obviously.
Yeah.
Right? So why not use it?
But I love the fact that you guys are doing things, because if you guys were just doing the same renderings of same buildings all the time, I think it'd be not as interesting, right?
And well, having we try to make it fun for ourselves
right.
as well. Yeah.
And doing a fluid sim, learning about a fluid sim for an ArcVis thing, that's kind of fun, you know?
Yeah.
I love the idea that you keep... That's one thing I think is really great about computer graphics, and you guys even saw the keynote. It's changing all the time. Yeah. The rules are changing. We're trying different things. So we're constantly learning new tools that, you know, that are hopefully make our lives easier, more enjoyable.
Yeah, but then we introduce new problems.
Well, sure. That's how...
Because we like them.
Yeah. Well, that'll keep the developers busy.
Yeah. I think that we develop as the software develops itself.
Right.
So it's the natural path. So some things were completely like 10 years ago impossible to make. So
right.
today, you know, we didn't face, I don't know, maybe I think we solved everything with some kind of software or plugin
right.
these days. So
almost everything. Yes.
But you guys really take advantage of the software.
Yes.
You guys really push it, right?
Yeah, and the hardware.
And the hardware too. So that's the other thing, okay? Yeah. So one of the other reasons people say, I'm not going to do it in 3D or all in 3D, I'm going to do a lot of post, is because they don't want to, the amount of time it takes to render, if you put everything in there is a problem.
Yeah, we kind of eliminated rendering as a problem. So.
So how did you accomplish that?
We built a render farm.
We invest a lot. So like 3 years ago, we said... 4 years ago, we said, "Okay, we'll invest everything." So we expect, you know, good income for us. But mm-hmm. We told each other that we were, you know, our salaries will be like we agreed, and we will, you know, spend a big amount of money on hardware and software. So
we invested every dime back into the company,
right,
to build up these systems, you know, that we use. And it's very funny because being like three guys in an attic in Croatia, you get to talk to other studios and stuff like that and see that, you know, the equipment they work on.
Yeah.
We look at it and it's like, oh my God, how can you do that? It's horrible, you know, but it's funny because our views on that, our perspective on that is completely different.
Right.
You know? And you only get to notice that when you start talking to other people and how they solve those problems.
Right, right, right.
And we have, I think, an amazing amount of rendering power for a company this small.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you need to DR a bunch of stuff, you can do it, right?
Yeah, so. And we like it. We like this kind of way. So it's like... we are happy with it. So.
Yeah, you know.
And very proud, so.
When we introduced render management, like deadline,
You
know, that literally changed the way we work.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, the workstations are always free.
Right.
You just work, you send the images to be done. But it's all in-house, you know, the control is still there.
Okay.
We never liked online render farms.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it's just moving those data sets all the time and the unpredictability of it, you know, it's like...
Well, yes, I agree.
It think got some a of lot that, better.
Some well, it is in some ways, and people have gotten used to that process. But I mean, what did you guys think of the keynote today?
I wasn't there.
Oh, really? You weren't there? Were you there, Chop?
Yeah, of course, I was there.
Did you see Boris's thing?
Yeah,
that could change things. Not to say that your investment is invalid.
Well, but, I don't think, you know, stuff like V-Ray Cloud is for us. And I think Boris would agree, be the first one.
Yeah.
Because the way we do things and, you know, how complicated and heavy it gets.
Okay.
I think we would very soon hit into a wall of diminishing returns, you know, using that.
Okay.
So, but I also think it's an amazing solution for a lot of possible workflows.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, seeing... 7,000 buckets on an image is pretty
and
crazy.
And using a single button to do it, that's what makes it so good. You know?
Right. Yeah, but yesterday he told that, you know, 50% of V-Ray users are using 8-core machine. Yeah.
Right.
50%. And that means that, you know, 50% of these people are, you know, working on some simple, I don't want to say simple scene, but, you know, nothing too heavy or, you know.
Right.
And for them, this is...
That's
this
a big jump.
Yes, yeah. this is amazing because...
And you guys are using, what, 40 you just, cores and... your workstations are probably in the 40 cores, right?
Plus,
right. Yeah, 64 cores, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that makes sense for you guys. You put the horsepower inside and then you're
fine. Yeah, you know, and it's in the next room, right? So...
Right.
It's all under control, you know, it's very reliable.
Right.
We don't depend on internet connections to do any of our work.
Right.
You know? So,
and it's, we don't have IT service. He's doing all of that.
Yeah, I'm the IT service.
Yes. Really?
And now we are getting smarter all the time. So when we order something, we order, you know, extra stuff.
Yeah. Right.
If something breaks, that we have it in the office because otherwise you have to wait for like 30 days or something to be delivered.
Yeah, so you have a box of spare RAM, and a box of spare hard drives. Yeah.
Power supply.
Is, we are a very problematic company for people selling server hardware.
Okay.
Because we're... Like, we have demands, but we're not nearly as big enough as their usual clients.
Right.
So it was insanely problematic to figure out, you know, supply and stuff like that, where to order that stuff, where to get those CPUs. You know, we don't need 700 of them. We need like 5.
Right.
Yeah.
And
they're used to selling much higher
volume.
It was
a big surprise for us because, you know, before this whole adventure, we didn't know that it was such a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then you realize, oh, there's no supply, you know, we can't get it anywhere. So we started searching outside of Croatia. We hooked up with some companies, you know, from Slovenia and Germany, stuff like that, who were probably closer to the source. You know, so we kind of, now we have our own ways of getting that stuff. Yeah. So it's kind of easier now.
And if you come to the computer shop, you have like 2 graphics cards there, you know, and we need them like 6 or... Mm-hmm.
But we don't need 100.
Yeah.
Right. So you're somewhere in the middle. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And GPUs are hard to find now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Luckily for us, we don't really
use
them.
Yeah.
GPUs are, I think they're starting to change. I think there's a tide, like the cryptocurrency thing.
It's kind of dying out slowly.
Dying out. But there's going to be a whole bunch of new GPUs coming out soon. So we'll see how that goes. That could be also the other thing is maybe people are not buying them because they're waiting for the next level, right?
Yeah.
Well, so you guys have been doing a lot of things. What are some of the clients? What kind of projects are you guys generally involved with?
Well, I think we are like the masters of hotels.
Yeah,
hotels.
Croatia is a touristic country, and you know,
well, it's a beautiful country.
Yeah,
and so there's a lot of tourism going on.
Yes,
right now,
especially Dubrovnik and South Dalmatia and Istria. Yeah. They are renovating. They started, you know, like 10 years ago, renovating and building new hotels and into some. Not the resorts, but very, you know, luxury style hotels. Mm-hmm. And we hooked up with some architects.
Nice.
And,
we kind of specialized in it. And we do a lot of hotels.
Right.
Really a lot.
Okay.
And it's like, I don't know. For us, it's very... So now we are designing a hotel.
Right.
We are
accidentally, we're helping, with the design of one. And
yeah, the clients keep the regulations. So... architects did, you know, basics, but he has some special needs. So he told us, okay, do it. And,
take this, make it look a bit better, you know.
Right.
And just add a bit of our style to it, I guess.
Okay. And what is your style? How would you describe it?
Oh, well, I don't think I know how to, we would know how to describe it. It just happens.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when you work with somebody for this long and this intensely as we do, because especially in the beginning, it was just the two of us.
Right.
You know, and you start like really synchronizing and we finish each other's sentences and stuff like that. You know, we don't even have to say the idea till the end. We both know what we're going to do with this. You know,
you've done
we should move the cupboard. Okay, you don't even have to say where, because we both know. When you look at the image, we know where it's supposed to be.
Right,
so it's really funny, but it also makes it quite hard to, you know, find people we can actually work with.
Yeah. Right.
But when we got the project, you know, we are very heavy with modeling, texturing, and these preparations has to be, you know, done perfectly. Mm-hmm. After that, you know, we I think each part of the process has great attention. So after that, after texturing, lighting, camera angles, you know, sun position, all these, you know, fine details, and you know, we respect them all. So we try not to, you know, we're not lazy. So we want to do it properly. Yeah, and
we try not to focus too much on one single thing. Better, you know, besides keeping the clients satisfied, because ultimately they're paying for this stuff. So
sure. And how do you? What is your? If someone's going to say, okay, I'm going to, you know, I'm good at this. I'm starting this thing in whatever country they are or whatever they are doing, and they say, I'm going to, inspired by what you guys are doing, what, how do they get, how do they start, and where do they get their clients? How do you guys, is it mostly referrals or?
Well, in creative industries, word of mouth is God.
Yeah.
Yes.
So no, there's no amount of advertising you can do, you know,
right,
that'll make as much, you know, profit for you as
so it's important,
a good reputation.
So important to have that first customer.
Yeah.
And then that first customer can spread that around. Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
And you have to be professional for, you know, everybody. So
you never know who knows who, right?
So
it's a small world.
If somebody orders, you know, a toilet render, and if other client orders, you know, three beach resorts or something. So we have the same rules for everybody. So, you know,
right.
It's, yeah, it's how we think it has to be done. So there is the same respect for, you know, job which is coming. So,
right.
I mean, I firmly believe there are jobs not worth doing
in
the world. But once you accept them,
you have,
you know, it's all the same thing. It doesn't matter what he said.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, you get, you can't, even if you don't want to do the job, if you do the job, you got to do the best job, because otherwise a bad, a bad review is not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have to be very careful, because our models have to be amazing, because we don't, take brush in Photoshop and cover something. So,
it's very hard to fake stuff.
Yes.
Right.
That's one of the issues with, you know, going all 3D.
Right.
Everything shows.
Yeah. You know,
every wrong seam, every wrong unwrap, every whatever.
Right.
You just see it that is, you know, ugly.
Something looks wrong.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. So. But you know that everything's physically correctly done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, not always, though. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Because ultimately, the goal is just to have it look good on the image. How you got there exactly is not really, you know, what's all that important. So there's a lot of cheating going
we
on.
We have a few secrets, and we cheat a lot.
We cheat a lot as well.
But in 3D space.
In 3D space.
In 3D space. Okay. Yeah, you can do that. You can cheat physics a little bit.
Yeah.
You can make things float.
Yeah. Thankfully, you know, the render engines of today are highly art directable.
Okay.
Which is great.
What do you mean by that?
You know, you can change the way certain lights influence certain objects. You can cheat with the shadows. You can make, you know, stuff like that. You don't have to really emulate a photographic process to get something which looks photographic in the end.
Right.
You know, because using white cards and black cards and stuff like that, it's still a valid approach.
Right.
But it's much easier to just, you know, disable a few objects from a certain light.
Right.
So, you know, you can use that, but you must always be careful not to use it too much.
Yeah.
Because it kind of shows after a while, you know, that it's not really, it doesn't have this tightness.
Yeah.
You know, real physically correct images do.
It's good. I mean, I think that you, everything you're bringing up is valid. I think it's just, you know, it's a workflow that you guys chose. And I think that other people have other workflows that they chose. And you're like we said earlier, you're playing to your strengths. You have these, you have a strength to do this. You know, you've invested in the systems that allows you to play to those strengths. You invested in the hardware and the talent to make that happen. But we still have time, but I'm sure, I think it's going to be a longer subject, so I want to get to it. You guys made an announcement today at the end of your talk that was kind of an important thing to you.
Yeah.
And I want to sort of, first of all, why don't you just tell us what that is?
Okay, so like it's on the talk, you know, we closed the company.
You closed. So after all of this success.
Yeah. Well, there's more, you know, we just built a new website.
We updated the website.
Made our first demo reel.
Right.
And apparently our only demo reel.
Yeah. Right.
And then we shut the company down.
Okay. You shut the company down.
Yeah.
And why did you do that?
Well, because we opened up a new one.
So why did, what was wrong with the old one?
Nothing.
Nothing was wrong with it.
Absolutely nothing.
But what, so then what is the need for a new company?
Because it's more.
It's more.
It's more of everything.
Okay.
It's, you know, it's, we needed to step back and just, you know, rethink everything because we have visions which are really more than, you know, I think we hit the ceiling at one point.
Yeah.
You know, we got where we were and
right.
We just needed like a total reset and to make everything, you know, even better.
Okay. So what's this new company?
Well, it's called Poly Machine.
Poly Machine. Okay.
Yeah.
Which is a name that really plays well with our, you know, interests. Let's say that.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a total like rebrand, but it goes much further than that. So
okay.
It's new yeah. people.
New office. New fancy office.
New fancy office. Yeah. Well, yeah. You look
in,
worried.
In the center. So
no two dudes in an attic anymore. Yes,
so, right.
So.
And it's now it's everything is most of the stuff. Everything is done. So we had, you know, very tough 3-4 months with mm-hmm. Existing projects, with, you know, everything. So we want to make it really fast, the switch. And you know, now I think, the funny issue is with old company. We never spent a dime on marketing or, you know,
ever.
It Not was a just, cent. It
right.
was just
word of mouth.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And it is wrong for, you know, I think, it wasn't wrong, but,
it wasn't wrong then.
Then. Yeah. But now, you know, you have to be there. You know, people has to, know
they
that.
They have to know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's not, I want to get into more details, but it's not dissimilar from Vlado and Peter, right? Vlado and Peter started V-Ray, just the two guys,
yeah.
right? In a small place, not in here in Sofia, not yeah. far. And they put it out on the internet and a couple of people saw it and it was word of mouth, right?
Yeah.
They didn't have any marketing at all. You know, they had a website, but that was it.
Yeah.
And then you just, it's like, no, you got to use this and it's word of mouth. And that's what happened. Now, obviously, the company has grown now. We're 300 people. We need a marketing department. You saw how big that stage was at the
Crazy.
Keynote.
Yeah.
So this is a huge difference of what happened in that amount of time. It's good that you have that. That's a good foundation. You have that. You just know a little bit about running a business. You didn't have to be, you could focus on your craft and do that.
Yeah.
But where is this new company going? So what is Poly Machine going to be doing?
I think the main goal for the future is creative agency. So,
we basically want to expand everywhere and to everything.
Okay.
Because that's
so the solution for, you know,
creative problems.
We had this project, you know, we designed some wall, which was very nice in the render.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, okay, let's make it. It will look amazing. Then the client came and said, oh, that's amazing. Can you, you know, find somebody who can build it and, transport it to, you know, 2,000 kilometers country outside of Croatia in like 2 months.
Wow.
And
okay.
I was like, yes, of course.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, no problem. Okay.
Yeah.
I've never done that.
We can do that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you start researching. And so I'm not speaking about these kind of services, but, you know, when you know how to, you know, do things or it's, sometimes you need the bluff to, you know, to try to do step forward. So,
because, you know, in the end, profit, whatever it may be, financial or, you know, intellectual, is a function of risk.
Of course.
So it's really like that. You know, you got to step out of your comfort zone, take some risks and just figure stuff out.
Right.
And it ended up there. We're kind of good at figuring stuff out.
Yeah.
Right.
So it was very funny. Just
you mean about the wall?
Yeah.
Yeah. The way we solved it is we tried to design it.
So what, explain the wall exactly.
It's like a huge thing made of a few thousand wooden blocks, which are all kind of random.
Okay.
But they're actually not random because they had to be manufactured. So they're semi-random, but they're built in a way that it looks random, but it's easy to manufacture, and they assemble like Legos.
Okay.
But it was all done in MacScript.
Yeah.
Right.
So he wrote it. So for that.
I wrote it the morning before the client came.
Yeah. And you made it, it was like a display wall or an art wall of some kind?
No, yeah. It's like, it's a private kind of thing. It's a decoration.
Right? It's decoration. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. How big How big was it?
8 meters by three meters. And a half, yeah. It's okay. Like so three tons of wood.
It's like 3 tons of wood. Right. Yeah. The max actually calculated the weight as well. Yeah. So that was
really
cool.
Yeah. Nice.
That was pretty cool. But, you know, it was just, we figured out there's no way to draw this because it's so many thousands of pieces and stuff. Mm-hmm. And we just coded it. So
right.
It ended up being really cool. But, you know, that's the whole thing. That's the approach to problem solving. You know, there's different sure. ways. And because the two of us are actually so different and we have different backgrounds and everything, we didn't go to the same college, but that's about it, you know.
Right.
Dean was a pro junior tennis player.
Yeah.
Right. Nice.
Yeah.
You know, Croatians are very good at tennis. Yeah.
Yes. Not all of them, but
some.
We are happy with them.
Yeah.
You know, I was doing computers as a kid, assembling, disassembling, writing code.
You still are.
Yeah, we still are. Yeah. So.
Yeah, poly machine is like when you asked what's the. First, we. You know, we did some personal projects in the old office, but we never had the time to, you know, to show what really we can do. So,
sure.
And now I think we got opportunity to do that. So,
we have a clean slate.
Yeah.
You're going way outside your comfort zone.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yes. But, you know, that's what makes it interesting.
But you know the part of the puzzle that you're doing. And you've done, it sounds like you guys... based on what you're saying, is you've done hints of all of these different things.
Yeah.
Now you're just, it's a matter of the execution all the way through,
yes.
right? Yeah. So instead of delivering just an image, instead of delivering an image, you're delivering all the stuff inside your images too,
yes.
right? Yeah. Is that kind of the goal or?
Yeah, essentially, you know, we want to solve any kind of creative problems.
Okay.
You know, because we notice that a lot of times people don't actually know what they need.
Right, yes.
They know they need something. But they're not really sure what that something is.
Sure.
And, you know, based on our experience and the amount of projects we went through in the last few years, which was absolutely, like, insane, we kind of think we can help there, you know?
Okay.
See what their problem is, maybe help them out, figure out a solution or some kind of service we can provide to.
Right.
You know, just help them out.
Yeah. Well, there is going to be... an interesting process in there because I think your customers are going to start to become different, aren't they? Or who are you visioning your customers to be?
Huh. Oh, we'll figure that one out when they start coming, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
First, we will search for them. We will, you know, grab a few books of nice pictures and go to whatever where we have to
knock
go.
Knock on doors, yes. Old school stuff.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, it's a reset.
Yeah. Right.
Nobody knows this new name, right?
Right.
And it's part of the process, you know. We got to go back to square one.
Some of the clients we want to keep, but most of them we
I think it's time to move on.
Yeah.
That's, okay. That's the way, you know, we should probably put it.
It's been
we've outgrown a bit, you know, of the old, especially like the Croatian market and stuff.
Right.
Some of these projects are not really, you know, what we want to be doing anymore.
Okay.
So to facilitate all that, you know, there's the whole change, the new company, the new everything.
And what made you think that this would be something? Was it something like the wall project that basically said, you know what, maybe we could do this kind of stuff?
I think it's just a combination of everything that happened.
Yeah. You
know? It came very naturally to us both. It's not like we had to discuss it for long or anything like
okay.
that. So just, you know, we kind of both.
We got a great opportunity and we agreed to take it. So,
Well, how long was your previous studio around? So how long were you?
Well, in the lineup, like the two of us together, around 3.5 years,
yes,
I think.
But it existed for 8, 9, so something like that.
All right.
But you know, we did a lot in those 3 years.
Yeah.
Sounds like it. It sounds like you guys are hungry though.
Yeah. Always.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's fascinating. And I mean, Now let's talk a little bit about your ideas on marketing, because this is going to be a new subject for you guys. I mean, knocking on doors is one way to do things, but
yes,
you got to be able to do something to get wider.
We're not experts in that, and I think that we don't know how to do it proper. So
we'll probably hire somebody to do it the way it's supposed to be done.
Right.
Because it's like fixing the pipes at home. You can do it yourself, but if you're not really sure what you're doing, it's better to call someone. So we'll probably. You have to be aware of your strengths, but also of your weaknesses.
Yeah.
To do good business.
Yep.
And that's the weakness part is where a lot of people have a problem because it's an ego thing. You have to, admit to yourself that you're not really good at everything.
Right.
And being the two of us in a team, the whole ego thing had to go away years back.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it's impossible to cooperate like we do if, everybody gets angry at somebody changing his stuff, it's like, whatever.
So we know each other that, we trust each other a lot. And it's like there is no competition. There is no ego there. And there is just, you do your job, I will do my job. And we always ask each other and our guys in the office, what do you think of this image? What do you think of,
Some feedback.
So it's, we sit together all the time on each image and we're all together looking and commenting, and there is at this point you have to be aware that you have to admit yourself that if he said I don't like this here, that okay, somebody has to explain why. So if the explanation is good enough, that's it, so you change it. And first we have to be satisfied in the office with the image, then we send it to client. So that's our, and our ladder is very high. So
the bar is quite high.
Right.
But it's an evolving process.
Right.
Yeah. But we tend to, for example, I don't know if it's a hardware decision, like which CPU we should buy. It's obviously kind of my thing. So he won't mess too much if I say, we got to buy these things.
But the idea of we need more presence on social media, that's completely outside of what you guys probably do, right? So that's why you're going to need someone who's an expert in this area.
Yeah.
And it's also probably going to be a challenge because you're going to have to find someone who understands where you guys are.
That's the biggest challenge.
That's your biggest challenge,
thinking about hiring an office manager, and where do you find one who actually understands what we do?
Right,
And wants to be an office manager, another 3D artist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like the most ridiculous problem, but once, it starts happening to you, it suddenly becomes a huge problem.
Right.
What do we do?
And he has to have good aesthetics.
Because it's not like
and
we are dentists. We know what a dentist does.
We need an office manager who has good aesthetics, and eye for detail.
Right,
Maybe architect or,
An office manager who went to architecture school.
Yeah, where do you find that guy?
I don't know about that. Yeah. So. Well, but you're right. I mean, it is a thing that you guys have language. Or you're going to have to sort of say, write general personality and then they can learn from that. Or someone who's eager to learn, right? Yeah.
Yes.
That's also the option.
Yes. I'll tell you this for example, one of the guys who we work with in social media, his name is Sean, and he's actually here. And he's excellent at social media, but he had no idea what V-Ray was when he first came. No idea.
Yeah.
And so that's a very complicated thing to do from an outsider to explain that. But he picks up on stuff if he has an interest. First of all, he has a very good eye.
Yeah.
And so that's something that you need, right? And he can pick up. I was like, oh, well, this is really good. Look at this. And I was like, people are going to react well to that. He knows how well social media is going to react to an image by instinct than we do, right?
Awesome. Yeah.
And because sometimes this really shows off this whatever feature. And he goes, but this one's going to do it. And boom, that one's exploding. So he knows those reactions. And someone who's really good at social media, as an example, is a good way to think about it.
Cool.
I mean
social media is like word of mouth on steroids,
right?
So.
Yeah.
It sounds and business development is a tough thing, and you're right that social media is huge. Well, it's just also that there's a lot of people on their phones. A lot of people do things that are sort of their own little ecosystem in some ways. kind of even the way that I decided to do this podcast, I didn't necessarily think I was having a large audience. But if I had enough people interested, suddenly I realized, oh, I can reach a lot of people on the podcast. So yeah, it's a big deal. And that's a good way to think about it. I'm not necessarily going to tell you how to do what you do, but or how you need to do some of your steps. But there is something that I learned when I first started in this in the company, because I'm not a marketing person, right? And what Lon taught me is two different things. Is there's something called direct marketing, mm-hmm. where we, which is an important part, where I say we've got a new product in here, check it out, right? Or check out examples of our work or whatever it is. That's direct marketing. And then there is indirect marketing, which is a lot of what I do, for example, where people who are around our company or do stuff, we get stories from them, we get content, and we create things. We're not, I don't even mention V-Ray on most of my podcasts, right? Yeah. And that's not the point. The point is that we have a community of people that are interested in our stuff. And that's what social media is about, you know, it's people that like that.
And I think today is very hard to, you know, with all these Instagrams, Pinterest, you know, people are not reading. They're just reading two lines and looking at the picture.
The picture is so it's so very big,
heavy to produce image, which will, you know, take their attention. So
it's also saturated with content already. You know?
Yeah,
it's very hard to stand out with something. That's one of the biggest challenges.
Yeah, but I think you guys are expert at making images.
Yeah,
you guys know about doing that. So that's a good thing for you. You're not just writing a bunch of words down, right?
No.
But if you have something interesting, compelling, it's gonna be of interest. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll try to make something interesting and compelling. That's one of the challenges, you know.
So today is the first day you guys announced this publicly that this is happening.
Yeah.
Well, that's big news. That's big news. And I know that you guys said that, you know, there's some timing thing. So don't worry, we'll put this podcast out after that, so that you guys won't feel.
And we will try to produce the best what we can, you know. Make in the next few months, we can and we want
we can and we want to.
Well, okay, so obviously you guys are very successful, right? And you've taken all the profit that you guys have made and reinvested right back into the company, it sounds like, right? Either through new hardware or changing everything and starting a new office.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, let's just put it this way. Amazon is a huge company. It hardly ever made a profit because it kept taking everything it made as profit and reinvested it back into the company.
True. That's true. You know, we gotta watch not to grow too fast or too big. But you know, everything we do kind of organically. It happens. We figure it out. Something else happens. We figure that out. And I think this is going to go pretty much the same.
Right.
It makes no sense to plan things which you can't anticipate, right?
Right.
So, you know, but I don't know, you know, we're both happy that this has happened. We feel good about it. And I think that can only be a good thing. You know,
okay.
Ultimately for the business and everything.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a big step. So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys have an office now. Right?
Yeah.
We could have run that last thing for years and be like perfectly content.
Right.
But where's the fun in that?
Right. Yeah. That's great. I mean, that's great. Like you said, it's a risk. And you've taken risks in the past and you've seen them come to fruition. Is there any risk that you've taken that you regret? I'm not going to necessarily say that.
Business wise,
yeah. I don't think so.
I don't think so, really.
Business wise, no. Yeah.
Right. That's great.
Old odd job here and there which you don't like in the end, you think it's gonna work much better for us than it actually does,
right?
But that's just part of life. It's nothing really special,
and it all comes into experience, so
it all counts.
Yeah,
you know, as long as you learn from it,
right,
it was worth it.
Yeah Well, this has been it's been really cool. I really appreciate you guys coming by and doing that. And you and I are friends on Facebook and we're chatting, and it sounded like you were very excited about being here.
I've
Total Chaos.
Been a huge fan of the podcast as
Thank you. But I actually meant about Total Chaos.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I've the funny thing is a lot of people from Chaos Group are actually really good friends with us after so many years.
Yeah, yeah. You guys you know, you guys know Blago, you guys know Vlado, you know Boris, you guys know all those guys.
It's like, I don't think we see it anymore as we buy software from you guys. It's like, like, just chatting, having a beer and stuff.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's become a completely different thing.
Yeah, and the event is amazing. Organization is...
I'm blown away.
And yeah. Vlado mentioned... this is our first international year. You know, it will be some probably mistakes or something, but you know, it's amazing. Yeah, so
everything seems spot on.
Right, and it's a lot of people here.
Yeah,
every room is
almost
like
almost 1,000.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, almost 1,000.
That's really a lot
for a like CG a first event. Time doing this in Sofia. Yeah.
Yeah, and as speakers we have PA, so it's, you know,
right. Yeah, we got personal assistants. That was super weird.
Yes. Yeah,
so
sense though.
It's amazing, you know, and helpful, obviously.
Right.
But you know, despite everything, we're like humble guys. We were raised that way.
Sure.
You know, we don't expect special, you know, service or anything.
Right, right, right.
We kind of, it's more that we feel uncomfortable when somebody, you know, wants to do something for us. Like, no, we're going to do it ourselves.
Don't bother.
You know, so we don't have this, I think we'll never have this, you know, celebrity mindset.
You're going to go out there and say, get me a coffee.
Yeah.
It's simply, we weren't raised that way and it doesn't work, you know.
Well, it's more honest and they're great. And it's all, you know, we have a really great office here and a lot of people here and they all want to, you know, be part of the event in some way and volunteer. And this was one way that we could help with our speakers. And it's not just for you guys to make you feel comfortable or uncomfortable, as you said. It's more for us to make sure you're in the right place at the right time. So we know, so that you guys know. And you don't have to worry about like, oh, crap, I missed the dinner or I have to be here or whatever. No, someone will take care of it. And honestly, we don't. I've been to many events and this is kind of a rare thing to have a rare reminder.
I've never seen it before,
right,
but it actually is because, you know, doing these talks and masterclasses, everything, you really get lost in all of that stuff. And I don't know where I am at any given point in time and when's the next talk and when's everything.
Sure.
And somebody sends you a message. You're supposed to be there in 15 minutes. Yeah. This room, go to the right. Like, awesome.
It's so good. Yeah. Yeah, it's really good. Until they create really, really good virtual assistants, having a personal one is good.
It's not going to be the same.
Of course, it's not the same. Of course, it's not the same.
It's much nicer when somebody human comes and, you know, takes care of you. That's really beautiful.
So you did an amazing job. We are like...
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Honestly, it's nothing to do with me. The only thing I said that I wanted to do is I wanted to get out of the way, and I said, just if I have a place where I can podcast with some of these great speakers, that's what I want to do. Because, yes, we had 1,000 people here, but I want to make sure the message goes out to more people and people understand some of this stuff. And then, you know, maybe next year there'll be more people that want to come by and see it in person.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's very exciting to have all this stuff here.
I think, you know, just posting videos from like CG Squared last year on YouTube did a great thing, even though it was a very like locally oriented event towards Bulgaria.
Yeah.
And still, you know, I think that produced a lot of interest in Total Chaos year after.
So. Well, that was Peter's thing, right? He says, we already do an event. It's like, it's focused on Bulgaria, which works for them, right? Yeah. Because they need recruiting and all this other stuff. But he goes, why don't I just make this like our event?
Yeah.
It's international. We can make announcements here. We can have more, you know, broader interest.
And you're a big enough company, I mean, to, you know, actually have and do something like that.
Yeah. I don't know how that happened. It's like,
I don't think anybody knows, but that's the way it happens.
I looked at that stage and like, oh my God, we're a huge company, you know? Yeah. And I looked like, it was weird. It was weird to me.
Yeah.
Well, I can imagine, you know, a few years back, everybody was still rendering with the Irradiance map.
Yeah.
And now Chaos Group has like a huge stage, you know, things change.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks so much. And I'll see you guys tonight for sure at the dinner. And
that'll
be fun. And I really appreciate you coming by. And I'm really excited about your new company. And I'm sure you have a website at some point. So we'll put
temporary.
It may be temporary, but whatever you have, make sure and give that to me so that I can put it in the show notes, you know, so people can go to the podcast page, go to the show notes, and you'll see links to all of this information, as well as any examples of your images and stuff. We'll put that in there.
Tomorrow, Chop will be more specific with little details about everything. So
details and stuff.
But this is just, we didn't mention a few things. So, but tomorrow, everything will be there. And...
we have to do a website so we can do a website later.
I've done that.
Because it's just the thing, you know, we know that the website that we want is going to take a lot of time.
But you have to have something there, right?
Yeah, so it's
at least we have a new fancy office, so
We couldn't. We took when we you remember the old Chaos Group website?
Yes.
It was like it was there enough to be functional in some ways. And then the redesign of the new website, which has got so much content on it now.
Vlad told that end user event 2-3 years ago, I think. We are working on it and it will be new.
Right.
And we said, oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks. Finally.
It's really good now. So, all right. Well, thanks so much, guys. I really appreciate
Thank you for the invite as well. It was really, you know,